Van, thank you very much. How firm a foundation. Hope you recognized that. Let me say, before we get going this morning, for myself and Pastor Brian, how grateful we are for your wonderful gifts last week. We were both very blown away. So thank you for your generosity and your kindness to us. We're so grateful to you all. So thank you very much for that. Let me ask you now to open your copy of God's Word to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We want to continue our study of the household code that we find in this portion of God's Word. We read another household code in 1 Peter 2 and 3 for our scripture reading today, and there's a third one in the book of Colossians, but we want to continue this household code here in the book of Ephesians, where Paul applies the word to specific relationships under each roof. So that would be wives and husbands as we continue this morning, children and parents, bondservants and masters who would have at that time operated under the same roof in Paul's day in that era of slavery. So we want to continue our look at this portion of the word. So let's read our passage again, picking up verse 21 from the previous section as it serves as a heading for our section today. Hear the word of the Lord. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and his himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. The word of the Lord. Let's pray for his help today as we look into this section of the household code. And so Christ Jesus, we come confessing our weakness today. We come confessing our distracted minds. We come confessing that we live in a culture in which this particular truth is extremely offensive. And so we pray that you would give us eyes and ears to hear and see your truth, understanding hearts. Let us listen to your word, sharper than any double-edged sword. And may we, as your followers, submit ourselves to the authority of your breathed out words. Strengthen me, Father, to preach today. Quicken my words and my mind and my throat today. Strengthen each one of us as we look into this passage. Christ, we pray in your precious name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned last week, we introduced the controversial topic of a wife yielding to her husband, presented to us here in these verses of Ephesians 5, through that explosive and often misunderstood term, submit. If that topic weren't controversial enough, this morning we're introduced to yet another controversy, the topic of male headship. Headship is the idea that husbands are in a position of authority over their wives and children. And in this egalitarian culture that we live in, there is perhaps nothing more controversial than stating these two ideas out loud. That husbands are an authority in the home and that wives should yield to that authority. It might even be offensive to you. I'm not sure. I like the way that Christian author and Steve Farrar attempts to diffuse these words. He attempts to take the sting out of headship and submission like this. He said, if I could define headship in a nutshell, I would put it this way. Biblical headship for a husband is giving the best of all that he is to those under his care and authority. I would define submission in a complementary manner. Biblical submission for a wife is giving the best of all that she is to the one that is in authority over her. I like the way Martin Luther said it even better, the great reformer. Of course, we observe the 502nd anniversary of Reformation Sunday, or Reformation Day, on Thursday. But the great leader of the Protestant Reformation put it this way. He said, "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave." That is, I think, pretty well put. But is this wishful thinking on the part of Luther and Steve Farrar? Is this really what the Bible means by headship and submission? Or is it the sentiments that we're hearing from our culture? Which is it? What does the Bible really mean by these two ideas? What does it mean for a wife to yield to her husband, as we've been describing? What does this controversial command look like? It is vital for us to know. For us who are married, we need to know so that we can understand our roles in marriage. For those with marriage still ahead of them, you need to understand the role of a husband and the role of a wife from God's perspective. And for all of us, we need to understand this so we can filter out all the contrary opinions that our culture is constantly feeding us. What does it mean for a wife to yield to her husband? What does this controversial command really look like? This is the question we started to answer last week and want to continue answering this Lord's Day morning. And we want to answer it by looking at four aspects of this command. We want to examine four aspects of a wife yielding to her husband. And we studied the first of these four aspects last week, the context of yielding. We said last Sunday morning that the command for wives to yield to their husbands is often distorted and perverted because it is often taken out of context. The immediate context would be verses 18 through 21. That's why I included it in our passage. And we said three important things about this context last week. We said that it occurs in a context of mutual yielding. There is mutual yielding in the body of Christ. This is one of the side effects of being filled with the Spirit in verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that term submitting communicates the idea of surrendering your rights to fellow believers in a spirit of humility. Every believer in the body of Christ is called to surrender their rights to others. And a wife yielding to her husband takes place in this broader context of mutual surrender and yielding. Second, we said that it takes place in the context of reverence to Christ. Reverent fear for Jesus Christ is the driving force behind a wife yielding to her husband. We'll see this again today. She yields to her husband because of her personal faith in Jesus Christ and her reverent fear for him. This is also seen at the end of verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then lastly, last Sunday we said that this yielding takes place in the context of being filled with the Spirit, which we see in verse 18. And this everything following verse 18 is a result of being filled with the Spirit, and so it is with a wife yielding to her husband. She must not only be a believer to successfully yield to her husband, she must be a Spirit-filled believer. This is the first aspect of mutual yielding, of reverence to Christ and being filled with the Spirit. This is the first aspect of a wife yielding to her husband. Let's go on this morning and look at the next three. The second thing we see is the command to yield itself. We get down to the very command when we get to verse 22. And I want to point out three things about this command. Verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." First, I want you to see that this command is a universal command. God gives this command to all Christian wives. As verse 22 simply states, wives. There is no modifier There is no term that qualifies the word wives. And so we conclude from this that God universally commands all believing wives to yield to their husbands. Listen to John MacArthur. Wives is not qualified and therefore applies to every Christian wife regardless of her social standing, education, intelligence, spiritual maturity or giftedness, age, experience, or any other consideration. Would you note further in this phrase that this command to yield is limited to her own husband? She's not required to yield to other men unless, of course, they too occupy a position of authority like a government official or a church elder. She's only required to yield to her own husband. And further, look at that word own. That possessive pronoun not only limits who she must yield to, it also reflects the mutual possession that a husband and wife enjoy in marriage. It's really important that you understand this and that you see that small three-letter word. She is his, but he is also hers. They belong to each other. Her own husband. Paul states this idea in 1 Corinthians 7. Let me read that to you. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Again, listen to John MacArthur. Husbands and wives are to have a mutual possessiveness as well as a mutual submissiveness. They belong to each other in an absolute equality. The husband no more possesses his wife than she possesses him. He has no superiority and she no inferiority. That's a pretty staggering thought, I think, to a lot of modern minds and even believers in this era. This command for a wife to yield is limited to her own husband, and the word own indicates that she has possession of him just as he does of her. And then lastly, I want you to note that the word husband isn't qualified either. A wife is called to yield to her own husband regardless of his intelligence, character, spiritual maturity, or giftedness. This is a universal command, and that's the first thing we need to see about the command itself. The second thing I want you to see here about this command to yield is that it's voluntary. Look at verse 22 again, wives, submit to your own husbands. And the term submit in that phrase means to yield your rights to someone in authority. We described this last Sunday. It's a term borrowed from the military, means to place yourself under the leadership of someone with a higher rank than you do. But what you can't see in the English translations that we hold is that the verb submit is in the middle voice. Now, stay with me just a minute. I'm not going to get into an English lecture. Middle voice means that the action of the verb is reflexive. The subject acts, in this case the wife, submits, and the action comes back on her. And what that indicates is that her submission is voluntary. It's not forced upon her by her husband. They are called, wives that is, are called to voluntarily yield to their husband's leadership in the home. take note too of how this command to submit differs from the commands given to children and parents. Look in your Bible over to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then down a few verses to verse 5. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. So the Holy Spirit's choice of words here is revealing and important. It reveals that wives do not belong to their husbands to order about as they please. Shocking news, men. Your wife is not yours to order about as you please. Your wife is not your child and shouldn't be treated like one. Nor is your wife your servant to be ordered about. This was a far cry from the way women were treated in the ancient world. Listen to scholar John Stott. He says, in the Roman Empire, a girl was, meaning a young woman, was completely under her father's, a wife completely under her husband's power. She was his personal possession. Her life was one of legal incapacity, which amounted to enslavement, while her status was described in the Latin word imbecilitas, from which we get our English word imbecile. In stark contrast to that is what we read in our scripture reading today in 1 Peter 3. That says our wives are fellow heirs of the grace of life. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Listen to this phrase, showing honor to the woman. Now, in the ancient world, that would have been a shocking statement, completely contradictory to what prevailed in the culture. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. It's a really important passage and describes that the way we treat our wives in the home might limit the effectiveness of our prayer life. Listen to John MacArthur again comment. A husband is not to treat his wife as a servant or a child, but as an equal for whom God has given him care and responsibility for provision and protection, to be exercised in love. She is not his to order about, responding to his every wish and command. As Paul proceeds to explain in considerable detail, the husband's primary responsibility as head of the household is to love, provide, protect, and serve his wife and family, not to lord it over them according to his personal whims and desires. This command, secondly, I want you to see, is voluntary. God calls wives to voluntarily yield themselves to the leadership of their husbands in the home. One more thing I want to point out about the command itself. Third, it is also spiritual in nature. When a wife yields to her husband, she is really yielding to Christ. And we see this at the end of verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. This is the spiritual nature of the command. When you yield to your husband's authority in the home, you are really yielding, it says, to the Lord Jesus. Because there's a higher authority in your home than your husband's. And that higher authority in your home is the authority of Jesus Christ. He is the one calling you to this course of action. And so when you voluntarily yield yourself to your husband's authority, you are in fact yielding to your Lord and Savior Jesus. Again, listen to Listen to one scholar say it. What will make this yielding easier is that she is asked to render it as to the Lord. That is, as part of her obedience to Him, the very one who died for her. So thirdly, this command is spiritual in its nature. When a wife yields to her husband, she's really yielding to Christ. There's an account of a little boy who had been resisting his parents' request, strong request, to sit down at the dinner table. And he, as young boys are prone to do, resisted. Finally, he yielded to them after much persuasion and threatening by his mom and dad, and he complained as he sat down to the dinner table, "Well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." The nature of this command to wives is not only that she yield on the outside, but also yield on the inside. Because she is, in fact, not just yielding to her husband. She's yielding to the Lord Jesus, who has put her husband in that place of authority. This is the second aspect of a wife yielding, the command itself to yield to her husband. With these three qualities, it's universal, it is voluntary, and it's spiritual. There's a third aspect that Paul goes on. He goes on to give us the cause for yielding. Why does God call wives to yield to their husbands? What are the grounds of this command? Paul reveals the cause or the grounds for this command, the basis of this command in verse 23. He says, "For the husband is the head of the wife." Now, there's that controversial word that I mentioned in the introduction, head. What does Paul mean when he calls the husband the head of the wife? Well, Dr. Wayne Grudem, who is a theologian, did an extensive study of this Greek word, head, and he concluded after his lengthy study that it describes a person in authority over someone else. The next phrase affirms this very thing. Look at verse 23 as it continues, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body." If there's any confusion what Paul means by calling Jesus Christ the head, let me remind you of what Paul said about Christ back in chapter 1. Paul said this to describe Jesus after his resurrection, when he ascended to the Father's right hand. Paul said this, "And he," that is God the Father, "put all things under his feet," that is the feet of Christ, "and gave him," Christ, "as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." What you see in this verse is that Paul says Jesus is unmistakably the one in authority over his church. In the same way that Jesus is in authority over his church, so the husband is in a position of authority and leadership over his wife and children. Now, hold on. This does not mean that a wife is inferior to her husband. I don't know how many ways I can say this. I said it last week, and I'm saying it again. And so please hear, Scripture is not teaching that a wife is inferior to her husband. We know this from the way Jesus treated women in the Gospels. We know this from what other New Testament scriptures teach, such as 1 Peter 3:7. We see the dignity of womanhood affirmed continually. And further, the New Testament establishes the equality of all human beings before God in Galatians 3:28. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." In terms of your standing before God the Father, we are all on the same footing. There is no advantage to anyone. We all approach the Father through Christ. And this is true of a slave man, a slave or a free man, a Greek or Jew, and it's true also of male and female. On the playing field of your salvation, in your standing before God, the field is completely level. Christ is the one who brings us to the Father. Head does not mean that a wife is inferior to her husband, but only that they occupy different roles in marriage. God has placed him in a position of leadership over his family. Paul is doing nothing more in this verse than restating the principle of male leadership established at creation. Paul is doing nothing more in this verse than restating the principle of male leadership established at creation. Did you get that? Paul is doing nothing more in this verse than restating the principle of male leadership established at creation. God's Word tells us this, for example, in 1 Timothy 2, which we read last week. "I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she's to remain quiet." This is, in fact, why a man leads our scripture reading and why men lead in prayer at New Covenant Bible Church. It goes on to say, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve." It's in the order of creation. "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor." The principle of male headship goes back to creation. And all throughout his creation, God has established order by putting people in authority and leadership. Submission or yielding is simply acknowledging the authority that God has created and surrendering ourselves to it. Every one of us in the room yields to the authority of someone. First and foremost, Jesus Christ. But then secondly, to our governing authorities, as Romans 13 tells us, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Now, let me go back to that first slide. Note that underlined phrase. It's so very important for you to see. There is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. This is true of authority in government. This is true of authority in church, where Hebrews 13:7 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." It's true in government. It's true in the church, and it's true of authority in the home. God has established husbands as the leaders of their families, and calls wives and children to yield to their authority. Again, Listen to William Hendrickson. He says, God placed ultimate responsibility with respect to the household upon the shoulders of the husband. It has pleased God to assign to the husband the task of being the head of the wife. So the husband's the head of the wife, the one in authority over his wife, the same way that Jesus Christ is the head and authority over his church. And men, this comparison to Jesus Christ should tell us plenty about what our authority in the home should look like. Guys, this comparison to Jesus Christ should tell us plenty about what our authority in the home should look like. Guys, this comparison... Okay, you get the point. But so that there's no doubt in your mind about how you should lead your wife, Paul goes on to state it explicitly in the next phrase. Look at what it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. A husband's headship or leadership in the home should imitate Christ and his sacrificial concern for his bride, the church. A husband leads his family by being its protector, its deliverer, and its Savior, though to an infinitely lesser degree than Jesus did. Again, let me read a comment from William Hendrickson. The comparison with Christ as head of the church reveals in what sense the husband is the wife's head. He is her head as being vitally interested in her welfare. He is her protector. His pattern is Christ, who as head of the church is its Savior. Ken Hughes adds, the husband is to exercise his headship with a Savior-style servant leadership. He must lead with the kind of love that is willing to die. The sun and the wind were arguing one day about which one of them was stronger, both claiming to be the greater force of nature. And so the sun laid down a challenge, the sun laid down a challenge to the wind and said, look at that man traveling down the road down there, and let's see which one of us is stronger by finding out which one of us can get him to take off his coat. Wind, you go first. And so the wind blew. And the wind blew. And the wind blew, but the harder the wind blew, the more the man clutched his cloak around himself. It didn't come off. And the son then got his turn. And the son, while he was hiding behind a cloud, now came out and just beamed. Shone on the poor traveling man, warmed so much that finally he took off his cloak and carried it along with him. So warm he had become by the sun. And so, men, it can go either way in the home under your leadership. You can blow hard, and all you will be is a blowhard. And your wife might yield to your authority on the outside, but believe me, she will be standing up on the inside. Or you can shine with the warmth of your love and your tender affection for her as your bride and your radiant love. Through your radiant love, you can melt her heart, as they say. I can hear some of you saying, well, doesn't sound very manly. Are you telling me that Jesus Christ wasn't manly? Do you dare tell me that Jesus Christ wasn't manly? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. According to this, one of the most masculine things you can do is to demonstrate how profoundly and sacrificially you love your wife and family. Why does God call wives to yield to their own husbands? What are his grounds for this difficult and challenging and controversial command? A wife is called to yield to her husband because he is her head, her authority, the leader in the home. And finally, now we come to the fourth aspect of this command. We've seen the context of yielding. We've seen the command itself, the cause for yielding. And fourthly, we now come to the compass of yielding. What do I mean by compass? By compass, I mean the scope, the extent to which a wife is called to yield to her husband. And we see the extent to which she is called to yield in verse 24. Look at what it says. It says, "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Please note, men, that this verse is not suddenly permission to dominate your wife and demand exacting obedience in all things. This verse does not eradicate the previous one, which called you to a Savior-style servant leadership. This verse does not do that. This verse merely calls wives to yield to their husband's authority in all areas of their home and marriage. Men, if we're smart, bears repeating, doesn't it? Men, if we're smart, we'll delegate many areas of home and family life into the very capable hands of our wives. We would do well to give them the freedom, authority, and creativity control the host of issues in the home that she is uniquely gifted for by God. Ladies, if your husband is smart, he will give you a great freedom to run your home as the assistant manager. Verse 25 simply underlines the fact that he will always remain the general manager of your home and the one ultimately responsible for all that takes place there. The buck stops with him. He's the one who will give an account before God of how your home operated. It's a great liberating truth that you're simply the assistant manager. You got a complaint, tell him. Not that you would talk to God that way. This is the compass of yielding, the extent. And a wife is called simply to yield to her husband's authority in all areas of home and marriage. So, This is what it means for a wife to yield to her husband. These four aspects fill it in for us and show us what it is. It's so far different from what our culture holds up as this idea of yielding, and they hate the word submission. But we saw that it's these four things. It is the context of yielding. And we noted these three things last Sunday. And then we got to the command itself, secondly. We saw that it's universal for all believing women. It's voluntary and it's spiritual in nature. We're yielding to Christ himself. And then third, the cause. Because your husband has been designated by God as the authority, the head, the authority in your marriage, in your family. And then lastly, the compass or extent. It's to include all areas of home life. So, In these controversial areas of headship and submission, it kind of seems like Martin Luther hit the nail right on the head, at least in my opinion. Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave. Jesus, we need help with this. This is difficult as you poke and prod into these very personal areas of life and family. We need both husband and wife to be filled and empowered by your Spirit. Obedience to these commands is impossible without his enabling help, both for wives in this section as well as husbands in the verses that follow that we'll discover in the weeks ahead. So Jesus, please fill us afresh and let our marriages and our homes reflect your design that you describe in your word and not the design of our culture. Savior, strengthen us to do this, we ask in your name. Amen.